So hey guys, my name's Jodin, and I'm here from Coding Jar Studios in Vancouver, Canada. Our website is codingjar.com. On that website, you can find a blog. It's mostly about Unity stuff and a bit about our games and our sort of development, but a lot of it's a lot of technical Unity issues and solutions. So what I'm known for is Fling Theory. So this is Fling Theory. This is our game. I'm going to go through it a bit and show you some of the stuff and tell you a bit about it. So I'll leave that for a bit. But I'm also done interactive tutorials. So if you haven't done Unity at all, if this is your kind of first time looking at Unity, go to my website, codingjar.com. There's free tutorials there in the download section, or in the project section, I think it is. Or you can get them from the Unity Asset Store. They're free. They're the only interactive tutorials. So these tutorials will actually tell you what to do. It will wait for you to do it, and then it'll progress. So people really like it. They think it's really cool. The other thing I should tell you is that I consider myself kind of an engine expert. So I used to do Unreal Engine stuff before this on contract. I've done it for about 6 years. So I'm kind of really familiar with doing and hacking around kind of like alpha software. So that kind of helped us for Fling Theory because we shipped on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. And it only took us about maybe 2 or 3 days per platform to port our game over. So it was actually a lot easier than I thought it was going to be when we used this stuff. And it's going to also help you guys tomorrow, because tomorrow there's a workshop for developing Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 Unity games, and I'll be here to help you guys out. So in my game, Fling Theory, what we do is we have electrons and we shoot them around atoms. So here we have two negatively charged particles. So they will repel. I can switch this guy over so he's now positive. And now I will attract to this guy here. So Fling Theory is a game about atomic physics. And what we do is we simplify it. So we only deal with positive and negative atoms. We make it accessible by giving them like cute little characters, and we make it fun by giving them puzzles to solve. So in this puzzle here, it's shooting a positive electron, and it's grabbing that damaged particle. So what I want to do is knock that electron into that generator. And I can do that by, well, I'll show you first how I can't do it, by changing that guy to negative, because now they are opposites and they will attract. So if I change it, it will repel, and I can solve the puzzle. So in Fling Theory, we've done a bunch of Windows-specific stuff. We have the extended splash screen that's been mentioned many, many, many times about how you can fail the whack by having your loading thread be inactive. So we've solved that. We have trial versioning and full versioning for Windows 8. We have in-app purchases on Windows phones. We have Microsoft ad support on Windows Phone, and it's coming to Windows 8 pretty soon. We use Ad Duplex, which is another ad program, and I'm going to talk to you a bit about that right now. So Ad Duplex, what it is, it's an ad exchange program. So you don't actually pay money. What you do is you put ads in your game, and other developers will put your ad in their game, and it kind of just like works itself out that way. And it's a good way to sort of get new users into your game without actually paying money. And I met the guy who runs it over in Finland, and he gave us some really awesome advice. So I thought I'd do a little shout out because the service is actually really cool. What we do in our game is if for some reason Microsoft fails to give us a valid ad for a region, which apparently can happen, then we switch over to Ad Duplex. So at least we're getting some kind of ads and some kind of benefit out of it. The other thing we're doing is we're doing the roaming settings. So Vladimir was talking about how you can switch over. Let's say you're playing on your PC, and then you take your Surface with you. You want to save your progress? Well, we do that and in our game. And we also do the snap screen support that he was talking about earlier. So the cool thing about all of these, or most of these, not exactly everything, is that I now have a demo project that you can download from my website, codingjar.com. /blog. I posted it earlier today in the morning. You go there, you can download that project, and it will solve all of these issues for you. So it has an extended splash screen. You don't have to do any work. It has the roaming settings in there. It has the snap screen. So basically, that's a bunch of support and examples you can use for free. No effort. So before I get into the super technical stuff, and I am a technical guy. I'm not really a business guy, but I sort of have to do business because I'm the guy who started the company. So I thought I'd share some business advice as far as this Windows 8 goes with you guys. So the first one, and you can see in the big banner in the background there, is AppCampus. So AppCampus is a program that is funded by Microsoft and by Nokia. And what they do is they you submit your app idea to them. They will look at your app and determine if they think it's a good fit to be a Windows Phone exclusive. If it turns out to be a good fit to be a Windows Phone exclusive, they will pay you 20,000, 50,000, up to 70,000 euros for you to develop that app. It's only exclusive for 3 months. So if you're thinking about developing a game, if you haven't released it on another platform, and you think it's a good fit and it's going to be high quality, definitely check out AppCampus. They also have training, so you go to their campus in Finland, and they will tell you a bunch of things that you may not know, especially if you're a developer, if you're really technical. For me, I did not know anything really about marketing and things of that sort. I went there for a month. That was in early March, so about a month ago, and went through their program, and I found it actually really, really helpful. And it's helped us out quite a bit. So again, if you're looking at Windows Phone stuff, definitely check out AppCampus. The second one I want to talk to you about, actually, I'm going to talk to you about another one that's not on the list because I forgot about it. There's something called BizSpark. So if you're starting your company, a new company, like if you're thinking of going indie, and you want to get a bunch of free software, go to and join BizSpark. So BizSpark is a Microsoft initiative where they will help startups by giving them basically everything in the Microsoft catalog for free. So you don't have to pay for your Windows developer license or your Windows phone developer license. You don't have to pay for Visual Studio. They'll give all of that to you for free for, I think, 3 years, as long as your company is like under 3 years. So if you're doing a startup, look up BizSpark. The other one is DevOps. So that's a Nokia one. And what they do is they will give you points for achieving certain things on in your Windows Phone development career. So what you'll do is you'll release a game, you get some good ratings, you get experience points in develop. And then you can redeem those points. And the one that's really important is you can redeem them to be featured on the Windows Phone Store. So start doing it now. Build up a bunch of points. When you get your like your app that you think is going to make you millions, when you get that out there, you then redeem those points to get featured, and that'll like really help you get a lot of exposure. Another thing that we did is you're supposed to get like early adopters for your apps. So one of the things that really helps out, especially on Windows Phone, is that they have a beta program. You submit your app, and you say it's a beta. And then what happens is you can now send that beta code to pretty much anyone on the email list that you put in. They can test it. They can test in-app purchases. I know Richard was just talking about how there's a different code path on Windows 8 for trial license versus full license. Well, on Windows Phone 8, there actually isn't a difference between the two. Like there is in debug mode, but what you can do is you can submit a beta app and actually see what it's going to be like when it hits the store, and that's really important. So the thing we did is we went on a site called Preapps, which apparently just signed something with Microsoft. I don't know what I saw it in the news about a week ago. There's a site called preapps.com. You go there, you put up your icon, you put up the description of your app, and people who are interested will sign up to test your app for you. And the important thing about that site is that it does Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. So you should be looking at preapps.com. And the last, I've talked about it before, is AdDuplex. So on AdDuplex, again, that's the Ad Exchange Network. Use it as a backup. So I'm just going to solve this puzzle here by switching these, this electron over, or sorry, atom over. And then I can switch them back to hit the other one. So now let's go on to actually solving issues. So right before I go into super technical stuff that looks a lot less pretty than this does, I'm going to do the easy things. The first one was the help section. Now, this got mentioned fairly early on in the day, where there is actually a Metro help section. So if you go help, Unity manual, if I go down here, whoops, yeah, I can scroll down. There is a Metro section in here. So Metro was an old, outdated term for Windows Store apps. So that's the one. You want to read through all of this before you start. It's actually really short, so it's not too bad. And then the other things before you get started is when you create your project, you want to go through your player settings. So if I go Edit, Project, Player, I can go through here, and I have to fill out a bunch of this stuff. Now, there's a couple things that I want to point out. For one, for me, the certificate almost never works for some reason. If I go create, and then I like, I think this is just going to fail. Yeah, so I get an error at the bottom there. So it never works for me. It might just be my machine, but if it isn't just my machine, if it's going to fail on your machine, the way to create one of those certificates is to load up a new Visual Studio project, and I'm going to do that now. I'm going to do this one. You load up this project, you hit properties on here. You go to the app manifest. And over here in the far tab, there's a place where you can build yourself a new certificate. And then you throw it in your project and you select it. And so that's one that's tripped me up before, so I thought I'd share that with you. Again, if you have problems, if you're here tomorrow, I'll fix it. But if you're watching this on the webcast, of course, then I've just solved the problem. The other thing you should be reading is choosing your app images. So there should be a link, choosing your app images. That's what it's called. Go here first before you fill any of that stuff out, because what happened with me was we were making a bunch of tiles and icons, and we didn't quite understand where they would be used. So this is actually the documentation that tells you, hey, this is the size you should be using. This is where it's used. And it's really important to go through that. So it just saves you a bunch of time. The last, but not least, is permissions. So if I were to go here, the very bottom here, you have your capabilities. Those are like your permissions. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you select all the ones that you know you need. But the tricky part is that there's certain permissions that you may not think you need, but that you do. So for instance, when you're doing Microsoft advertising, you need a bunch of permissions that aren't necessarily, that you wouldn't actually think that you need on here. And I'm trying to remember which ones they are. And I can't see them on here, but on the Windows Phone at least, you actually have to manually add a couple permissions on your own, or the ads will silently fail and you'll be like, why is that failing? Well, it's because these things aren't set correctly. And once you actually export your project, you can change those in your Visual Studio side. So now I'm gonna pour myself some water while I load up my other project. So this is the project that is available on my website. I just released it today, and I'm going to go through. This is kind of an example of, let's say you had a typical Unity game already done, and you've just got the Windows Store beta, and you're running into a bunch of issues. So this is what this project is supposed to simulate. It's very dull. There's not much in it, but bear with me while we work through these issues. So the first one is, let's say you just get, I'm just showing you in this example what the different defines are. So I've started this project, and I get an error right off the bat. And so I'm going to show you the different defines that you should know. The first one is Unity Metro. It's only defined when you're building a Unity Windows Store app. So Unity Metro is going to be the one that you're using most on the Windows 8 platform. What you're seeing here is that I'm getting an error because Unity Metro is not defined. So I'm going to go here, Build Settings. It's because I haven't selected Store Apps. If I switch this over, that error is going to go away. So you can see that in this case here, Unity Metro is only defined when you're targeting the Windows 8 platform. I'm going to load up my common issues. Oh no, it's not going to fit on screen. But it's really close. All right. So the first thing I wanted to talk to you about is use XAML builds. You have a bunch of different build options, but you want to use the XAML one to ensure that you can do the extended Windows loading screen, extended splash screen. Let me just double check. Yeah, so basically when you do file, build settings, you have all these different solutions. The fact that you can actually do like D3D11 is cool, but I don't think it'll actually work in practice because if you ever plan to ship on an RT device, like a Surface device, you're going to need an extended splash screen. And I haven't seen an example of how you do that manually with Direct3D. Code, you have to use XAML for that, at least all the examples I've seen do. So right now, I'm going to try to export this very simple project. And compile error. So you've been hearing all day about this, I'm sure, about, oh yeah, certain APIs aren't supported. You kind of have to work around them. So what I'm seeing here is that hash table is not defined. So here we go. We're going to look through my code here, and we're going to see my common issues. I'm using hash table. I actually use it. I do a lot of things with it. In fact, I even do the really complex thing and get an enumerator and move through it this way. And most people will say, oh yeah, your plugin is out of date. You have to like change your plugin or rewrite your code. But in case, and I would advocate that. I would say, yeah, get rid of hash table, use dictionary instead. But just in case you have just like this like crazy large project where you're just using it all over the place, there's actually another way to hack around these issues. And I'm going to show you that right now. So when you download this project, by the way, all these problems are already solved for you. I just wanted to show you the process of doing it. So this is my, in fact, I'm going to do this real quick so that we go through them one at a time. So hashtable did not exist. However, I know that hashtable is the same as like a dictionary that just has like two objects. So it's like object to object. So what I do in my code itself is I redefine what hash table is. I say there is a hash table, and it's the same as using a generic dictionary. And that'll solve like pretty much 90% of the issues. I'm going to get one more compile error at least when I do this, but I'm just going to see if that fixes at least hash table. Yeah, cool. So it's a different error now. But I'm going to show you that even in this like super complex example where I start enumerating the hash table stuff, you can still solve that issue by just defining your own enumerator. So I've done the more complex thing, and that I've derived not only from dictionary, but I also override its enumerable. I redefine enumerable so that it looks exactly like it did in .NET 2.0. And that way, that whole convoluted code here that that you would expect to like have to rewrite, well, you don't actually have to rewrite it. And it sounds like it's a trivial issue, like, why don't you just rewrite it sort of thing. But one of my plugins actually used this library called JSON-lit, or lit.json. And it was not Windows Store app, I guess, compatible. And instead of moving over to a new library, what I did is I actually went through the code. I downloaded the code because it's open source. And I just sort of hacked through and replaced all the incompatible stuff with stuff that was compatible. And instead of having to rewrite like three or four different like large files, I wrote like maybe like a class or two, and then everything just kind of works out. So that's a good trick to kind of keep in your back pocket. It's just implement something that they say isn't implemented. The one thing, sorry, I think I want to do this for a second here so that we can see the next error. Did that do it? Come on. Yes, okay, so the next error is that, you know, there'll be certain things such as like system security cryptography, which just don't exist anymore. Microsoft has determined that that's not a a valid namespace. They put everything into the Windows namespace. In this case, you don't really have a choice. You can't just implement it. So instead, you have to rewrite. So here's a here's an example of rewriting that. So NetFX Core is only defined when you're exporting to Windows 8. So essentially, it's not even defined in the editor. It's only defined on your export step. So this code here is going to use system security cryptography while I'm in the editor. And then it's going to switch over to Windows security cryptography when I'm actually exporting. And you can see down here in this function from one of my plugins that it's not my plugin, by the way. It's a plugin I downloaded. It's using the old system when it's in the editor. And then this is the kind of code that I, example that I copied off the web for how to do the exact same thing for Windows Store 8. So by using this technique here, you can actually avoid doing the plugin thing, which Vladimir was talking about how you compile two different DLLs and then you know you keep those DLLs in the separate folders. I don't like doing that because when you're doing that, when your interface changes, then you have to go into like Visual Studio and recompile those DLLs and then recopy them over, and you end up with all those issues. I actually like just writing code in line here, and this is the trick that allows you to do it. And then we're going to run into an error right now, which is, one sec. I think I might have missed doing that. Yeah, this will be fine. So the next error we're going to run into is a temporary error that I think Unity is about to solve, but I'm just going to cover it really quickly right now, just in case you're like actually just porting stuff right now and being like, why doesn't this work? So the next thing is that I've referenced a Windows assembly because I'm doing this using here, and it's complaining that it cannot find a Windows assembly when you're doing the compilation step or the export step. So the problem is that right now there's just a bug in Unity. That's all it is. There's nothing more than that. But you can get around the bug by building a fake Windows DLL and copying it in your project. So I'm not going to go through the steps to do that. They're fairly convoluted. You have to build it with Mono and sign it. But if you download my project, it's in there. So you don't have to worry about it. Just copy that into your project. And now when you build, you'll get a different error. Or will you? Well, you should get a different error. See, I'm worried on the next one that you might actually, by using this, the build method of using net core, so when you get those errors like hash table is not defined, that actually protects you. It helps a lot against passing WAC. So the Windows Application Certification Kit, if you fail that, they won't let your app go on the App Store. And by using this method of compilation, you're actually mostly protected against that, except for code that can live in DLLs. Sorry, it's actually my computer's just terribly slow. So. I don't see the minimize button. Great. Okay, so that actually worked. There's one other thing that I wanted to warn about, which was the string format issue. So there's an issue where string.format, such as defined here, with a variable number of arguments does not actually compile properly for Windows Store apps. So instead, what you can do is you can define your own extension method just like this, where you convert. So and this is like a generic technique. You can do this with any class. So if a function is missing, you use an extension method. If you don't know what it is, you'll have to look it up. It's there's a weird syntax to do it, but essentially, you can use that, or you can rewrite a function in one of their classes, for instance, string, and have it execute code that you write. So I've used this fairly often to get past missing functionality in the Windows Store apps. And I was actually just going to show you. This is where I use it here. This is actually a real review taken from our game. It says, it is a really nice game, but I don't like it. And then they gave us 4 stars anyway. I mean, come on. Even if you don't like it, you think it's 4 stars. That's how good our game is. All right, so I'm going to do that one more time and just move over to the Visual Studio side. Now, how am I doing for time? Does anyone know? Plenty of time? Okay. All right. So the one thing that actually I was hoping Richard would have covered, I think you just missed it though, the content one, the CS project. So there's an issue right now with when you export your Visual Studio project, what happens is that it will not clobber anything that you already have there. So that's good in that if you've written a bunch of code in your Visual Studio side, none of that code goes away when you export over top of your old project. However, the real issue with that is that if you're adding more levels into your game, those levels don't show up in your Visual Studio project, which means when you build your game, those levels don't appear in your game. So there's actually a hack that you can use to get around that. And I also think this is going to come up in the next release, but in case it doesn't, I'm going to show it to you. The thing you do is you modify your project file. If I could find it, I would do that. Okay, yeah, here it is. So you modify it with a text editor. So this is a bunch of stuff that Richard was doing earlier, where he was doing conditional compilation. But the trick is here that you want to see all this stuff that's like, hey, include this level, include this level, include this asset. You want to get rid of that and just do this. The two stars is important. That means everything in that directory and every subdirectory. So save it and then reload. And then that'll make sure that every subsequent build I do, I get all of the new data that I worked on in Unity. And that's one of those things where I got stumped by it, where I was I added a bunch of levels to our game, and then I was like, how come these levels aren't showing up in my game? Blah, blah, blah. And it's because of that issue. So make sure that you wanna do that and solve your CS project, patch it manually. So now we're building and we're onto the Visual Studio side. So this is all code that Unity generates for you. This is it right here. I haven't changed anything. But you're going to have to change some stuff, as you've been hearing all day. So the best way to do that is not to just go in and start rewriting code there, because what'll happen is some people will break something, or Unity might, in the future, change the code that's there. So you might have to re-export a new project. And when you do that, you don't want to be merging code that you've just written in that file into like a new file where you're trying to figure out, okay, was this line supposed to go there, or was this line supposed to go there? So instead, what I would suggest doing is creating a new class that adds on functionality to here. So you can see by default that the app class is a partial class. In C Sharp, you can add functionality to classes. So in C++, once you have a class definition, that's your definition. There's no changing it. But in C Sharp, you can say, this is part of my class definition. This is also part of my class definition. And that's what we're going to do here. So what I've done is I've kept all of my functionality that I've written into a separate file. And it just kind of merges in with the Unity code. I'm going to go through some of the things that I've done. So the first thing you need to know is that you need to have a privacy policy if you connect to the internet at all. I think Vladimir showed us a better example where it actually goes to the internet and fetches the privacy policy. I have like an even more hacky example, where all you do here is you just display it on the screen. So it's just a pop-up. It's just text. And there's code for that. All you have to do in this example is just put your text right in there, and it'll be done for you. The other thing I wanted to show you was the roaming settings. So let's say you have you started your game on, you're playing on Windows. You take your Surface with you. You want to continue your game. Well, Unity by default has something called player prefs, and those just get saved locally. And what I've done here is I've changed that code so that it'll go into roaming settings. And again, all this code is available on the website, so I'm not going to like super deep dive into it. But all you have to know is that the player prefs are stored in local settings, so I copy them over to roaming settings, and then I copy them back whenever I need to. And that'll get you your roaming functionality, and it's basically free. In this case, I'm just then executing the original Unity code, and then I'm undoing it. And I wouldn't, I'm just doing that for sake of clarity in this example, but what in your actual game, you would modify the initial Unity code a bit so that you can avoid some of this redundancy. And then what I'm showing is that here's the extended splash screen. So that's they've been talking about this all day. On Windows RT, the startup times are very slow. So you need to have an extended splash screen. And what it does is it's a splash screen that kind of runs while Unity's still loading. And Unity doesn't implement that for you. You have to implement it yourself. I've basically copied this from an example I found on MSDN. and changed it just a bit to give it a bit of a better feel. And this is, yeah, and then I've actually done it here. So if I run this game, by the way, I've added in code here to slow down the startup of this, so it's actually not this slow, but I'm artificially making it slower so that we can see the extended splash screen as it comes up. But it also causes some errors. So here's the normal splash screen, and then you'll see the extended one come in shortly because it's animated. See that? So it looks like it's just, and by the way, this error here, that's just the fact that I've done it. See, here's the normal, here's what you would normally see when I'm talking about all the different stuff with my awesome review that will be on my box art sometime. So that's the example of the extended splash screen that everyone keeps talking about. And there's a couple other things that I'm doing in this example. I'm trying to do snapping. So if I if you snap the application, most games like my game Fling Theory, it will not run properly if it's in like the super small mode. So in that case, I actually load up a different scene that tells them that, hey, you have to actually unsnap the game to continue. And I think I can, it's hard to see here, because it's actually a text screen. Yeah, there's text on there. Actually, I don't know if it's like implemented 100% properly on this one, because I just did this real quick and I didn't have snapping support on my laptop. There's just a few other things that I've added in here, like, hey, when the game goes invisible, like if you minimize it, then pause Unity. That's not in there by default. Again, the roaming isn't in there by default either. And then that should be it as far as new functionality. So when you do, when you've gone through what I've initially done there, when you've switched over all your code, you add this functionality in there, so the extended splash screen, etc. You should be able to pass WAC. Now, I'm not going to run WAC on here because it takes a long time on my laptop. It takes at least 5 minutes. However, I did run it earlier, and this code does actually pass. So it's pretty good considering I'm just trying to break it on purpose. So I'm going to switch back over to semi-notes for a summary. So in summary, look up App Campus, look up Develop. If you're a startup, look up BizSpark. When you're going to choose how you monetize your app, look at the difference between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. There's a difference in how they appear in the store, whether they're free or not, and what kind of exposure that gives you. If you want to do ads, figure out how you're going to do that first. And the other thing is that there's evangelists pretty much, I think, everywhere. Is that not? Yeah, okay. So in Vancouver, how I got a lot of good help was I spoke to our local evangelist there, and he spent time with me. I went into, they have an office there. They'll figure out what steps you still need to do in order to get like a good, or pass WAC or get a good rating. They'll help you even like send you code snippets. And on top of it, when you actually release, they can help you out there and help to get exposure. So if you're about to release an app, you should be talking to your evangelist and get that started. The other thing, if you're about to start, read documentation. Then we're just going to hack around a lot of those issues that I just went through. So you know, you're going to implement the classes that are missing or rewrite the code. Remember, it's still in beta. And I think it's pretty good for beta. I actually went through a couple other Unity betas or alphas, and it was a lot more difficult than this one. And so things are constantly improving. So visit my Coding Jar blog there, and you'll get this this example where I've gone through. I've just gone through where you'll get the splash screen and all that. And finally, so I'm Jodin. You can reach me at jodin@codingjar.com. I'm here tomorrow, and I can answer any questions you have right now. Oh, how did that happen? And that's not going to fix. Level's broken. All right. So, yeah, any questions? Are they compatible with Windows 8? I don't think so, because I think Windows 8 is 4.2 right now. I think I just loaded them, and there might be an error with them. They're compatible, I think, with 4.1, so the regular version. I guess I'll look at updating them. Yeah, I haven't really looked into it. But yeah. I think that's it. I don't see any questions on the monitor, so I'm going to just assume that we're good. All right. Thanks, guys.